Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 13th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street awaits this morning's key report on inflation.
Oil prices stabilized following yesterday's sell-off.
Twitter fires back in its battle with Elon Musk.
And we take you to Israel, where President Biden begins his Middle East trip.
Boating accident in the Hudson River has left two people dead. Plus, a gun rights group is suing New York's assault weapons ban. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Cincinnati Reds with four in the ninth stunned the Yankees, sent them to a third straight loss. The Mets lost in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 63, and NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.75%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield 2.95%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.04%. The euro is at 1.0038 against the dollar. The yen is at 137.08, and looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's higher. It's at $19,790. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we begin with the big inflation report Wall Street's bracing for. In about 2.5 hours from Washington, the government will issue the consumer price index for June. It's expected to show no let up on inflation. Amy Morris has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
May's CPI rose 8.6% year over year, a broad-based increase and the largest in 40 years. June's reading could be even higher based on a survey of Wall Street economists. At the same time, Bloomberg Economics says today's report will be balanced by recent evidence that inflation as well as economic growth may be moderating. The Federal Reserve is expected to keep raising interest rates to contain inflation by tempering economic growth. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. The top priority for the Federal Reserve is curbing inflation, and Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin sees another 50 or 75 basis point rate hike coming this month.
We're engaged in a very challenging exercise, which is to try to cool the economy down to normal levels, right, in an effort to bring inflation out of, under control, but without the intent of trying to cool it so down that the decline is calamitous. The right policy is to get inflation under control.
Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says today's CPI reading will inform the central bank's next move. He is not a voter on this year's rate-setting FOMC.
Well, higher gas and oil prices have been a major contributor to price spikes, Karen, and today we're seeing crude higher following yesterday's nearly 8% decline. This morning, the International Energy Agency warns that oil prices pose a high risk to the global economic recovery, with signs that fuel costs are starting to take their toll on demand growth. Right now, West Texas Intermediate crude's up 6/10%, 60 cents higher at $96.43 a barrel.
Well, Nathan, the surge in gasoline prices this year has Americans changing their minds on the next car they will drive. And we get the details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
According to a survey by the American Automobile Association, a quarter of Americans say their next car will be an electric vehicle. More than three-fourths of them say their interest is driven by a desire to save on fuel costs. Gas prices, which have come down this month, reached a record $5.02 a gallon in June. Millennials are the most eager to electrify their ride, with 30% saying they plan to buy an EV next. Last year, only 3.2% of U.S. vehicles were EVs. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thanks. Let's turn to corporate news now, where Twitter is escalating its battle with Elon Musk. For the details, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Twitter is suing Elon Musk after he abandoned his $44 billion takeover bid. The company is accusing him of having buyer's remorse after his fortune declined. Twitter lawyers say Musk should be forced to honor his agreement. The lawsuit says that Twitter has bent over backwards to provide him with the information he's requested. Musk has been disputing claims that Twitter has less than 5% of its users as bots and wanted more proof, but he ultimately abandoned the deal partially because of those concerns. This filing is setting up what will be the closely watched battle in the Delaware court system. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
We need to thank you. Turning to politics now, it's all about geopolitics. President Biden's Middle East trip is underway. His first stop, Israel. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern is traveling with the president and filed this report from Jerusalem.
Don't expect any major breakthroughs when it comes to the United States and the Israeli government. It recently collapsed, and they are looking ahead to elections in November. One key focus of this administration has been to normalize more Arab countries with Israel, and a key focus and a country to watch out for is Saudi Arabia. But there won't be any massive breakthroughs when it comes to dialogue or peace talks with the kingdom, but potentially more Saudi airspace being open to more Israeli flights. The president himself will be one of them, the first president of the United States to fly from Israel to Jeddah later in the week. The president is backtracking on a campaign promise to make the kingdom a pariah. But at home, he needs the Saudis' help to put more oil on the market to bring gasoline prices down. In Jerusalem, I'm Anne-Marie Hordern, Bloomberg News.
Okay, Anne-Marie, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the political focus remains on Capitol Hill. The House January 6th committee says it's investigating the possibility that former President Donald Trump directly tried to contact a witness. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The potentially explosive announcement by committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney was saved for the end.
After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings. That person declined to answer or respond to President Trump's call
and turned over the evidence to an attorney who in turn contacted the committee. Cheney says now it has been turned over to the DOJ for possible charges of tampering with a witness. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. S&P futures are higher, up about 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 62 and NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.95%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.03%. And again, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.75%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 75 degrees in Central Park, dealing with an accident still on the southbound New York State Thruway past exit 16. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr. Details on an accident on the Hudson River. Michael.
It was a tragic afternoon. At least two are dead and 10 injured after a boat capsized in New York City's Hudson River. The cause of the accident is under investigation, but the 27-foot private boat was in calm waters when it went down near Midtown Manhattan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams called it a devastating moment for the city.
Between New York Waterway, Harbor, FDNY, and those who participated, we clearly saved lives.
New York Fire Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh spoke about the conditions of the others.
There are two New Yorkers in critical condition in the hospitals and an additional New Yorker who is stable but critical at the hospital at this time. We also have eight additional patients who are green tags and are in stable condition.
Fire Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh, the boat was chartered by a group of family and friends. The January 6th panel revealed Donald Trump fought objections from his White House lawyers to a plan eventually discarded to seize states' voting machines. The panel says then Trump summoned supporters to march on the U.S. Capitol for what turned into the deadly riot. Former Oath Keepers spokesman Jason Van Tatenhove testified he wants more accountability.
There was a gallows set up in front of the Capitol. This could have been the spark that started a new civil war, and no one would have won there. That would have been good for no one.
Former Oath Keeper Jason Van Tatenhove says that he's worried about what will happen if Trump is reelected. Local media in Texas released edited surveillance videos showing law enforcement in Uvalde waiting more than an hour to take action after a gunman entered the Broad Elementary School, killing 19 children and two teachers. Police officers are seen in the video waiting in the hallway during the massacre. According to CNN, one leaked segment of the video shows the gunman entering the school and walking down the hallway with a long rifle. The recording also shows officers approaching the classroom that the shooter was in, but then retreating down the hallway and taking cover when gunfire is heard. A gun rights group sued to overturn New York's assault weapons ban less than a month after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a related state law that limited who could carry a handgun in public. According to the Firearms Policy Coalition, the assault weapons ban violates the Second Amendment. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. So many bright spots to this Yankee season. Maybe none brighter than the pitching of reliever Clay Holmes, acquired a year ago from Pittsburgh. Holmes gave up a run on opening day and then didn't give up another run for the next 2.5 months. But the Red Sox did get a big hit off him last weekend in one of those comeback wins. And last night at the stadium against the lowly Reds, Holmes suddenly couldn't get anyone out. A walk, a hit batsman, another single, another hit by pitch, and he was taken out. Jonathan India, with two outs in the ninth, delivered a game-winning two-run single off Wandy Peralta. Cincinnati, with four in the ninth, stunned the Yankees 4-3. The Yanks have now lost three in a row, blown leads in all three. It's only their second three-game losing streak. The other was back in May. Mets in Atlanta had just five hits, lost 4-1 as Matt Olson in a two-run homer, sixth inning off David Peterson. Adam Duvall, two-run shot, an inning later off Seth Lugo. The series ends this afternoon. The Orioles won again. They beat the Cubs. That's nine wins in a row. The Orioles have reached 500. The 150th Open Championship tees off tomorrow. Historic St. Andrews. Most of Tiger Woods' presser yesterday were his thoughts about the new LIV Tour. He's not a fan.
I disagree with it. I think that what they've done is they've turned their back on what has allowed them to get to this position. Some players have never got a chance to even experience it.
Tiger tees off tomorrow at 10 Eastern. He's playing with the U.S. Open champ Matt Fitzpatrick. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures up 32 points. This red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Traders are now fully pricing in a 75 basis point rate hike in July ahead of June CPI. We check in next with Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly mostly sunny today with a high near 90 degrees. Afternoon showers and storms possible tomorrow, upper 80s. Mix of sun and clouds, upper 80s for Friday. Right now, 75 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving higher this morning while stocks in Europe dip and cautious trading. It's dominated by a dimming economic outlook and an anxious wait for data that may show U.S. inflation at a fresh four-decade high. That CPI report is due out at 8:30 Wall Street time this morning. Right now, S&P futures are up 9 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up 37. And the DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.95%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.03%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 80 cents at $96.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $17.26 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0040 against the dollar, British pound 1.1899, and the yen 137.14, and Bitcoin's higher up 1.7% at $19,760. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. January 6th Committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney revealed at the close of yesterday's hearing that former President Trump tried to call a witness in the investigation and that the committee has notified the Justice Department. Also, former White House counsel Pat Cipollone testified a special order was drafted in December that would allow the Defense Department to seize voting machines. Military officials from Russia and Ukraine are set to hold their government's first face-to-face talks in months. They're meeting in Istanbul to discuss a UN plan to export blocked Ukrainian grain to world markets through the Black Sea. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. Also in the losing column, the Red Sox. The Orioles, A's, and Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Yes, it is, Michael. Thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. 6:19 means we are about 2 hours and 11 minutes, give or take, from the release of the June Consumer Price Index, what is likely to be another historically high read for inflation. Out of it, we're joined by Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee. And Mike, I know you saw that now traders are fully pricing in 0.75 percentage point rate hikes at the July meeting. Sounds like the market has made its decision on just how hot this inflation print's going to be.
I think that's the case. Most Fed officials are sticking to their predictions because a lot of them have been out saying 75 in July. So we haven't really seen any backing off from that. And I think one of the reasons is the increase in the CPI for the month of June is so widely anticipated. Most of it's going to be driven by gasoline prices in the headline, and people know that's out there. The question is, what does the core look like? In other words, what does it look like if you take out gasoline and food prices? And what's the month-over-month change? Are we hanging in there? Are we starting to see improvement on a month-over-month basis that isn't reflected in the headline because of base effects? That's what the Fed is going to want to know. They're going to worry about maybe an accidental going over 9% because they don't want inflation expectations to get entrenched. But they are going to watch the monthly change to see the progression of inflation.
That's certainly what matters to the Fed, the core CPI. And you look at the expectations on the eco screen on the Bloomberg terminal, it sounds like economists are thinking we're going to see a slight drop in core CPI. What signs are you looking at that could point to where things are going in terms of inflation outside those more volatile food and gas sectors?
Well, we know that used car prices on a wholesale level have gone down over the past month and a half. The Manheim report suggests that used car prices will have backed off. And that was a big driver during the months coming out of the pandemic because there were no cars to sell. So that would be good news. It's a reasonably large enough category. And also, we know that inventories are very bloated. So consumer discretionary items, apparel in particular, maybe some other things, might actually have seen a price decrease as retailers discount trying to get rid of this stuff.
What does this number mean in terms of the rate path going forward? Obviously, we mentioned that money markets are pricing in 75 basis points this month. What about subsequent months? I mean, does backward-looking data like this really matter? What's the Fed going to be looking at going forward?
Well, the reason it really matters is because of consumer expectations. If people start to get entrenched in their mind that inflation is always going to go up, then that makes it much harder for the Fed to get rid of inflation, to help bring it down. So it will matter in that sense. But the question that arises immediately at 8:31 Eastern time this morning after the release is, what is the Fed going to do at the September meeting? That's what matters to Wall Street. And no, this release probably won't have a major impact on that. It'll start people thinking about it, but we'll get August and September CPI numbers before the Fed meets again. And so we'll have a much better idea of the progression of inflation. And of course, I don't know if you've noticed on your daily commutes, but gasoline prices have been coming down now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So that should happen.
Right. About 470, I think, is what I've seen around my area. Anyway, I've got about a minute left here, and I know you weren't thrown by this, but before 8:30 Wall Street time this morning, we got a fake CPI print that made the rounds online yesterday. Is fake news just going to be with us when it comes to eco data?
It seems like it. It was unusual that this happened because eco data is not usually something that people care about. They make up rumors.
They do now. Yeah.
and they, you know, maybe it was an attempt by somebody to game the markets, but it quickly fell apart. So I'm not sure whether somebody else will try again, but you always have to be careful. And, you know, Bloomberg will verify anything that goes out before we send it out.
Yeah. When we verify that, their fake stories are out there and post stories about that to let you know that the real stuff comes 8:30 Wall Street time, as usual, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee, thanks for being with us ahead of the release of June's CPI. Looking ahead to the market open at 9:30 Wall Street time. S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures higher by 35 points. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32 with a yield of 2.95%. Still inverted between 2s and 10s. The 2-year yield right now 3.03%. NYMEX crude a touch higher, up 0.5%, 49 cents higher, $96.33 a barrel after yesterday's 8% plunge in crude markets. Much more to come. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, high near 90 today, upper 80s tomorrow with a chance for afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Mix of sun and clouds, upper 80s for Friday. Right now, 75 and sunny in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things that you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.08% to 3.08%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, we begin with the latest consumer price index, which will be released 2 hours from now. And Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice says we're likely to see another hot inflation reading.
May CPI rose 8.6% year-over-year, a broad-based increase and the largest in 40 years. June's reading could be even higher based on a survey of Wall Street economists. At the same time, Bloomberg Economics says today's report will be balanced by recent evidence that inflation as well as economic growth may be moderating. The Federal Reserve is expected to keep raising interest rates to contain inflation by tempering economic growth. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thank you. Meantime, the International Monetary Fund cut its month-old growth projections for the U.S. economy. It's warning a broad-based surge in inflation poses systemic risks to both the U.S. and the global economy.
And Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond President Thomas Barkin says the Fed's top priority is to curb inflation.
The Fed's tools work over time. So I expect inflation to come down, but not immediately, not suddenly, and not predictably. I'd expect inflation to bounce around on its way back to our target. And these significant oscillations are going to take time to dampen.
Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says the right policy is to cool inflation without causing a significant economic downturn.
Well, higher gas and oil prices have contributed to the inflation spike, Karen. This morning, crude is up following yesterday's decline. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude's up 0.6% or 59 cents at $96.45 a barrel. Brent is at $100.02.
Well, in corporate news, Nathan, Twitter's escalating its battle with Elon Musk, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is suing Elon Musk after he abandoned his $44 billion takeover bid. The company is accusing him of having buyer's remorse after his fortune declined. Now, the lawsuit says that Twitter has bent over backwards to provide Musk with the information he's requested. He's disputed Twitter's claims that less than 5% of its users are bots and wanted more proof. This filing is set up what'll be a closely watched battle in the Delaware court system. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures are higher this morning, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 75 degrees in Central Park. Problems headed to JFK Airport. Southbound Van Wyck's got a crash at Atlantic Avenue. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Tragedy in New York City. Two people are dead after a boat capsized in the Hudson River in Manhattan. Police Commissioner Keechan Sewell says it happened mid-afternoon.
This is a tragic day for New Yorkers. Indeed, it may have well been worse. Were it not for the incredible effort by not only our own extraordinary first responders, but also the swift response from the New York Waterway ferries, who rescued nine additional people from the water.
A nearby ferry rushed to help pull people from the water, as mentioned by Police Commissioner Keechan Sewell. At least 9 others were sent to local hospitals. The mayor of Uvalde, Texas, is furious after video footage from the Robb Elementary School hallway was leaked ahead of a private family viewing scheduled for this weekend. Uvalde Mayor Don McLaughlin says he feels the families were blindsided by the release of the tape. And when it comes to the local, state, and federal authorities seen waiting in the hallway while the violence inside continued, McLaughlin wants everybody who's seen on the tape to be held accountable.
I'm not shifting the blame, but there was enough high-powered officers, U.S. Marshals, DPS, Border Patrol, DHS, to come in there and say, hey, we're going, we're doing this.
The Austin American-Statesman and a local TV station released an edited version of the 77-minute surveillance video. According to CNN, one video shows the gunman entering the school and walking down the hallway with a long rifle. The recording also shows officers approaching the classroom that the shooter was in, but then retreated down the hallway and took cover when gunfire is heard. It was more than an hour later before authorities confronted and killed the shooter. Sri Lanka's president fled the country early today, slipping away only hours before he promised to step down under pressure from protesters angry over economic chaos that has triggered severe shortages of food and fuel. Thousands of protesters are also demanding that the prime minister resign. A U.S. gun rights group sued to overturn New York's assault weapons ban less than a month after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a related state law that limited who could carry a handgun in public. The Firearms Policy Coalition says the ban violates the Second Amendment. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, and John Stanshire has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Yankees were cruising along at the stadium against the Cincinnati Reds, the team that began this season 3-22. Gerrit Cole was sharp, 7 scoreless innings, gave up only 4 hits, struck out 11. Anthony Rizzo, a 2-run single before there was an out in the first inning. Yanks took a 3-0 lead to the ninth, gave the ball to their all-star, Clay Holmes, who's been nearly perfect this season. He has taken the closer role away from Aroldis Chapman. Holmes then faced 5 batters and could not get anyone out. Gave up 2 hits, a walk, hit 2 batters. The Yanks were still 1 out from victory.
The 0-2 pitch. India loops it into short center field. It's down for a base hit. 1 run will score. Here comes Solano. He'll score. And the Reds have come all the way back to take the lead. Jonathan India with his 2nd hit tonight puts the Reds on top. 4-3.
And at the final, WLW in Cincinnati. The Reds have won 5 in a row, 3 straight Yankee losses, blown leads in all 3. The Mets lost in Atlanta 4-1. The Braves got 2-run homers from Matt Olson and Adam Duvall. They are 30-9 since June 1st. If Atlanta wins again this afternoon, they'll be only a half game behind the Mets. NHL free agency is underway. The biggest name is Evgeny Malkin, but he is staying in Pittsburgh, where he has spent his entire 16-year career. Got a new 4-year contract with the Penguins. Tiger Woods' first public comments about the new LIV Tour. Says he doesn't understand why anyone would want to give away a chance to play the majors. Says they've turned their back on the PGA. Tiger passed up the U.S. Open to get ready to play the Open Championship. He wanted to play St. Andrews one more time while he feels he's still competitive. The 150th Open Championship tees off tomorrow. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market right now with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, let's get the update. Twitter versus Elon.
Well, the lawsuit is certainly been filed, at least on Twitter's side. They are officially suing Elon Musk over his abandoned $44 billion takeover bid. Those shares are higher to about 1.4%. TWTR is your ticker. This is important, Nathan, because we're talking about this being a suit being filed in Delaware, which a lot of folks perhaps aren't familiar with the Chancery Court there. But basically, a lot of companies are incorporated in Delaware. It's a very business-friendly environment. It's also an environment where it's kind of known to be sticking to the rules. If you say you're going to take over a company, they're going to enforce that. At least that's been the precedent there. So the idea here being that Twitter does have the upper hand going into that lawsuit, not necessarily that they're going to come out on the winning hand, but that is what the street take is for the moment. So TWTR rising on that prospect up 1.4%. It was higher, I should mention, post-market after that official lawsuit came out. Nathan, we should stick with the tech story, though, because okay. Google is also very important to watch. Two stories here. GOOG is your ticker. We'll start off there. The shares are up about 0.3%, but keep an eye on this one because two things happen. The first is Alphabet's Google is planning to slow hiring for the remainder of the year. That's coming according to an email to staff from the CEO, Sundar Pichai. You are also seeing Alphabet stocks a little bit concerning when it comes to Cowen. They trimmed their 2022 Google search and YouTube ad estimates. They're following checks that suggested that search is seeing healthy demand, but that the business is decelerating. This is something that was largely expected, but Cowen coming out and saying we'll really keep an eye on it because that deceleration could come faster than expected. So once again, Google shares GOOG up 0.3%.
All right, Creedy, we just got earnings this morning from Delta Airlines. Big earnings miss.
A big earnings miss. And I mean, this is perhaps setting a poor precedent for some of its peers, American Airlines, for example, or even United. We are going to hear from them, I believe, going into next week. But Delta shares, well, it looks like they're up now 1.3%, but they were down far, far more. What's interesting here is the difference between their operating margin and their capacity, because it says their third quarter capacity was down about 15-17% relative to pre-COVID levels. There are also saying that Delta may buy about 12 more Airbus A220 jets, that according to Reuters. So perhaps expecting a little bit more demand there. So you do have some two conflicting forces when it comes to how the stock is trading at the moment. Right now, it is up 1.4%. We're going to see when the earnings call comes on what other color they can give about that capacity. But Nathan, a stock to keep an eye on.
Yeah, certainly. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning. She'll continue to be keeping an eye on stocks and the broader market. Joining Tom Keene, co-hosting Bloomberg Surveillance on Bloomberg Radio all week, beginning at 9 Wall Street time this morning. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 38, NASDAQ futures up 26 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine today with a high near 90. Chance for afternoon showers and storms tomorrow, upper 80s. We'll have a mix of sun and clouds Friday and a high near 90 degrees once again. Right now, 75 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We get to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures up 52 points. S&P's gained 7, while NASDAQ futures are up by 36. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.95%. Gold is a little changed. Oil is in the green. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.7%. Shanghai was a little changed overnight, while European markets are in the red, led by 1% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index. At 2 o'clock, the Fed releases its beige book. Regarding earnings this morning, Delta EPS missed estimates. And in other news, Google plans to slow hiring for the remainder of the year. Wrapping things up, Armstrong World was raised to buy over Goldman Sachs. Juniper was cut to underweight at Piper. And Lazard was cut to underperform over at KBW. Live from the First Break of News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And you mentioned Delta earnings. Those shares down 0.9% in early trading right now. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. January 6th committee co-chair Liz Cheney said the panel had notified the Justice Department that Donald Trump himself had contacted a potential witness who was talking with the committee. The panel also presented evidence that Trump aides secretly planned for a second rally stage across from the Capitol on the day of the attack. President Joe Biden lands in Israel this afternoon for a three-day stop before heading to Saudi Arabia. Iran's quickly evolving nuclear program is high on the agenda. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. Also in the losing column, the Red Sox, the Orioles, A's, and Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News & World Report, and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Shanghai, coronavirus cases appear to be leveling off after a recent surge. Still, residents have been urged to stockpile food and medicines. That sparked fears that the city could return to lockdown. Shanghai's flare-up is just one of the outbreaks China is currently grappling with. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has agreed to spend $1.5 billion over the next 2 years to improve smart border technology during meetings with President Biden. A series of agreements the two countries hammered out called for several other concrete moves, including expanding the number of work visas the U.S. issues and creating a bilateral working group on labor migration pathways. And New York researchers transplanted pig hearts into two brain-dead people over the last month. It's the latest in a string of developments in the long quest to one day save human lives with animal organs. The Food and Drug Administration is considering whether to allow a small number of Americans who need a new organ to volunteer for rigorous studies of either pig hearts or kidneys. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the January 6th committee mapping a path from a wild Trump tweet to the Capitol attack. President Biden on a Middle East trip that's all about oil. And Vice President Harris revealing a new Pacific strategy aimed at countering China. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on all these stories, starting with what we learned from the latest January 6th hearing. Emily, take us through what came out of it. It sounds like the panel is making the argument that the mob was galvanized by President Trump's Twitter.
Yeah, that was definitely part of what happened at the hearing yesterday. The hearing really focused a lot on this one tweet set in the early hours of December 19th from Trump, basically telling his reporters supporters to come to D.C., saying that it will be wild. And the committee also focused on what happened in the White House in the hours leading up to that tweet being sent, a meeting late in the evening on December 18th that some advisors to the white president called unhinged. They said it was a profanity-laced meeting where a number of the president's advisors were urging him to accept reality and announce that he had lost the election, sort of call off his supporters. And then you had another group of Rudy Giuliani and others who were telling Trump, no, what you need to do at this point is double down. We can find a way to make sure that we put forward these alternative elections and find a way to fight and see if you can still become president. And so it was a very interesting hearing, really kind of delved into what the White House was like on a very particular night before Trump sent that tweet. We also learned that they expected to have a second stage. Remember, there was the event on the Ellipse, but there was also going to be another event closer to the Capitol. They also dug into the fact that the March to the Capitol was planned from the start, and that Trump initially had it in a draft of his speech. And then at the very end of the hearing, Vice Chair Liz Cheney revealed that Trump had tried to call a witness in the investigation, and that they had alerted the Department of Justice to that.
Interesting, that final point to come out from the vice chair of the committee. And it sounds as though they may be pointing to the possibility of at least referring this to the Justice Department. I mean, that has some pretty serious implications.
Yes. I mean, this could wind up be witnessing tampering. I mean, this is an investigation, a congressional investigation that's going on. They did refer this to the Department of Justice. There's certainly, other questions about, remember, as everything happens with January 6th, there's also the Justice Department to keep an eye on because they are also launching their own investigation into this. They've brought charges against folks. And so they're sort of not perfectly working together. It would be inaccurate to say that. But certainly you've got two bodies there who are very much focused on getting to the bottom of what happened in the months leading up to January 6th and on the day itself.
Okay, let's turn to President Biden's trip to the Middle East. He's heading to Israel right now. Multiple challenges to address, and we've already gotten some news made on the way.
Yeah, we've got at this point a schedule about what exactly Biden's going to be doing. We know that he will be meeting with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman on Friday night, as long as other Saudi leaders. He's also expected to do an announcement on food security on Thursday and talk about the importance of sustainable energy supply level on during the trip as well. But Nathan, this is going to be a tough trip for President Biden. I mean, he's coming at a time where his approval rating is very low, even compared to his most recent predecessor in this office. And he's got a pretty big goal. He needs to try and figure out a way to stabilize gas prices, lower gas prices. And that's going to come to an ask to the Saudi government to be able to ramp up production, stabilize, help stabilize the region. And that's really not a guarantee that that is going to happen. At the same time, he's got a lot in his own party who are frustrated with him, saying that he should not be going to Saudi Arabia because of their record of human rights abuses and their actions with Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who an intelligence report revealed that was killed at the hands of the Saudi government.
So lots for the president to try to overcome as he makes his way through the Middle East over the next few days. Let's talk about this new strategy focused on Pacific nations that came out from Vice President Kamala Harris. What's the focus there?
Yeah, so the idea is to really prioritize Pacific nations in foreign policy, as well as addressing some concerns over climate change. And the whole idea here, Nathan, is that what they really want to do is sort of counter China's bid in that nation. They want to make sure that they're building up U.S. influence and relationships with allies that are, you know, physically close to China. And so Vice President Kamala Harris announced plans to open more embassies. She's talked about having more officials at the White House and executive level that are working in the area. And, you know, this is also coming as other U.S. allies in Australia and New Zealand are ramping up their relationships with Pacific Island nations. Of course, for a lot of these nations, a big concern for them is climate change and what's going to happen. I mean, if you were a tiny island out in the middle of the ocean, it's a huge concern. And so they are taking steps to try and making sure that they're addressing climate change, stepping up, sort of talking more to the leaders of those Pacific Island nations about what is needed and finding ways to address it.
Yeah, interesting to see the focus continue to be on China and the challenge there, even as President Biden heads over to the complete other side of the Asian continent. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you for this from the nation's capital. Read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Ahead of the release of June consumer prices, futures are moving a touch higher. Mentioned earlier, traders are now fully pricing in 75 basis point rate hikes from the Fed at the upcoming July meeting. Right now, S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 40, NASDAQ futures are higher by 31 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 5/32, the yield 2.94%, yield on the 2-year higher at 3.02. NYMEX crude up 0.7%, $96.50 a barrel. Bitcoin, $19,700. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.